All through this year, St. Luke has been our companion along the way. The vast majority of the Sunday Gospels have been taken from Luke's Gospel. And Luke has been rightly hailed to be the evangelist of mercy, who focuses in such an intense way on the compassion of our God for those who are sunken and stuck in sin. As we come to the close of this year, it's the last time we'll hear for some time from Luke's Gospel. And we're here at the pinnacle moment, the crowning achievement of God's love and mercy, revealed on the cross, the face of the crucified, crowned with thorns, and held up for the world to behold. This is our King. Now, as St. Luke has been our companion, and rightly he's been pointed to and as an evangelist of mercy, I would also like to suggest that along with the theme of mercy in Luke, we see that he is the evangelist of hope, the evangelist of confidence, the evangelist of trust, and yes, the evangelist of the perfect love that casts out all fear. As we've been reflecting in these recent weeks about what it means to truly say, in the midst of a world that would cause us to fear in so many ways, I am not afraid because I trust that I have a Savior and a Redeemer, a King of love. I think I'd like to focus for a moment on that theme of taking away fear, that it's only perfect love that casts out all fear. We're here at the end of Christ's earthly life, but let's go back for a moment to the beginning. Perhaps it's the snow on the ground outside that came so suddenly on Friday, but it reminds me that in a few short weeks, Christmas will be here. The themes of Advent are already so open in my heart. We hear the angelic messenger asking the various characters, hearing about the birth of the Messiah. Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your king is coming. And then, do not be afraid, Mary. Your king is coming. He's going to be born of your own womb. And then to the shepherds who are watching their flocks at night, do not be afraid, shepherds, because your king is coming. Come and adore, come and worship. Meanwhile, in the palace of Herod, that pretender king, he wasn't a true king in the line of David, but he had seized that in his family over the generations, had ensconced themselves in that place in which only David's rightful heir would reign. And so it was that Herod, as he heard the Magi coming to worship a king and bring gifts, he was frightened. And it says all of Jerusalem along with Herod was frightened. And he had to lash out and seek to slaughter the newborn king. And he wiped out an entire generation. Obviously, it is the putting to death of the innocent one, which is the ultimate bringing to the conclusion of Herod's plan to eliminate the threat to his throne. As Jesus Christ is put to death on the cross, the innocent for the sake of the guilty. Now, Pilate, in his conversation with Jesus that reflects so much about kingship, Pilate himself is also afraid. Pilate, a sort of king or governor put there by the Roman Empire to make sure that things continued to go well in the Holy Land, but only reluctantly and even fearfully, Pilate acknowledges as he sends Jesus out to be crucified, here is your king. Do with him what you like. I love the way that do not be afraid, the message of the angel, and the fear of these earthly kings and powers in a way echo each other. Do not be afraid because your king is coming. But the current powers and the current kings who hold the power, they are frightened and terrified that one is coming mightier than them. Not with any armies, but with the very hosts of heaven that Jesus himself spoke of, my kingdom is not of this world. We do not celebrate Christ as king simply of the Jews, simply king of Israel. But in fact, we look to Jesus, it was announced so clearly, as king of the universe. And as Jesus spoke of his kingdom, as Jesus spoke about the coming of that kingdom and even taught us to pray for the coming of that kingdom with the words of the Our Father, I think we would do well here at the end of Jesus' earthly life to look back to the beginning. Pardon me if I'll quote a Christmas song today, but it reminds me of what's coming. And it reminds me that in the little king at Bethlehem, there was, in a beautiful way, the revelation to God's people that he would truly come to be their king. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. O little town of Bethlehem, O city of David, there is a little child born to be king. And that king, when he grew up, he was put onto a cross and crowned with thorns out of love for you and me. That first reading brings us back to the great promise that God had given to raise up a king to lead and guide his people in righteousness and in perfect worship of him. We know that many times the people fell astray. They left perfect worship of God and they fell into idolatry. They turned back from God and they fell back into those other ways to put themselves on the throne and to worship other kings and other gods. We know that when the people of Israel were taken into exile, first by the Assyrians, then by the Babylonians, the people lost their identity. In fact, they started with just assimilating to the culture, but little by little they began to bow to the gods of the Assyrians and the Babylonians. And that's why St. Paul speaks so clearly in the second reading. In a cosmic vision of what's going on the cross, as Jesus is held up as king of the world, he says, Christ has delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. St. Paul, in another place, he cried out, our citizenship is not of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior. This transferring from one kingdom to another, I believe, is important. We've just seen in our own nation, through a beautiful process that we're thankful for, the reality that power can transfer from one to another in a somewhat peaceful way, even if the discourse has been very debased. But that democratic process, that electoral process, is a very significant part, one at a great cost. And in a beautiful way, we acknowledge, as I understand, somebody had to tell me, because I'm not on Facebook, but somebody assured me that many who voted, they said simply, I voted, but Christ is my king. The victory that has been won on the cross, the reminder that Christ has given us is a profound one. When a victory was won in the ancient world, you ceased being of the identity of your people before, and you began to be an identity of those who conquered. If you were conquered by the Assyrians, didn't matter if you were from Plymouth, you became an Assyrian. If you were conquered by the Babylonians, didn't matter if you were from Maple Grove, you became a Babylonian. You lost your identity, and it was drawn up into the identity of the conquering people. Is this not what Jesus has accomplished on the cross? Transferring us from one kingdom, the kingdom of this world, into the kingdom which is to come, the true kingdom. I have two pieces of paper here. Some of you wish I had fewer because then I would stop preaching, but I have two pieces of paper. One is the certificate of live birth issued by the Minnesota Department of Health. It's my birth certificate. It's right up here. It's issued by the, I'm not going to tell you what year, but it's issued by the certificate of Department of Health, Section of Vital Statistics, a certificate of live birth. And it's signed to say that I belonged to my parents as my legal guardians. There are their names. It even says I was born at 8 o'clock. On the 16th of August, I won't tell the year, although I think I've told it before. And it even says, it does not say how heavy I was or how long I was. So those things are missing. I guess I was a pretty small baby. But I also have another paper up here that says that I belong to God. And this is a baptismal certificate, and it's a certificate much like the one that these children today after Mass will receive. It's one thing to be alive. It's one thing to belong to your parents. It is a very another thing to be transferred to the kingdom of Christ and to belong to him. What a beautiful thing, little children, that you will be baptized on Christ the King Sunday. I was baptized on Christ the King Sunday a few years ago. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing indeed that these six babies here today remind us all that at a great cost, the cost of the cross, Jesus transferred us from one kingdom to another. All throughout the Gospel of Luke, there was a clear direction. Beginning in Luke chapter 9, Jesus set his face to go up to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, he knew that he would suffer, and that by suffering and by his resurrection, he would become king. Because Jerusalem was the city of the kings, beginning with David. And in a beautiful way, as he kept putting one foot in front of the other, you can see many of the steps along the wall, the stations of the cross, one step after another, always to pursue the goal of being king on the cross, never to run from the cross, but always to pursue it, because he had these six babies in mind, and he had you and he had me in mind. And in a beautiful way, he transferred us from the kingdom of this world into the kingdom that is to come. I woke up early this morning, earlier than I would have liked to have. But I found that Pope Francis had awoken even earlier than me. I was able to read his reflections that he gave in Rome this morning as he brought to a conclusion this year of mercy. And listen to what he says. It has everything to do with our theme, I am not afraid. Pope Francis this morning, gathered with the thousands in Rome, said, we have Jesus as our King. His rule of love transforms sin into grace, death into resurrection, and fear into trust. It would mean very little if we believed that Jesus was King of the universe, but did not allow him to be Lord of our lives. All of this is empty if we do not personally accept Jesus, and if we do not also accept his way of being King, a crucified King. Yes, each of the Gospels shows us different facets, different aspects of the face of Christ. I think all through this year of mercy, we've been looking to Christ, the compassionate, the merciful one. But in a very vivid way, Luke, we believe, was actually an artist, but he paints in a beautiful way Jesus as friend and savior of those who are most deeply sunk into sin and farthest gone astray. And that's why at the moment of his crowning glory on the cross, as he was held up for the world to behold, a strange kind of king, he met a man who was seemingly so far gone that hope was not in his heart at all. But in a beautiful way, in this little encounter, as with an encounter with these six children following Mass, as in an encounter with you and I throughout this year which is gone or throughout the year which is to come, the Lord brings us a precious gift. He comes as a king of love and a king of mercy. You see, there was no need for Zechariah and Mary and Joseph and the shepherds or even the good thief to be afraid, because not only was the king coming, but the king is here and he is coming back for us. We await a savior, Christ the Lord. And the good thief acknowledged that we needed to have a right relationship with God. He called out to the other thief that jeered at Christ and said, why don't you just save us? Bring this whole suffering to an end. And the good thief called out and he said, have you no fear of God? We're subject to the same condemnation as him, but we have been condemned justly. Rather, this one is an innocent man and has done nothing criminal. And he turned, and in a moment of grace, his heart was soft. And it's a phrase that's been used by many church fathers. That thief became a thief of heaven because that night he received the precious gift that he did not deserve. But because his heart was soft through repentance, he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I hope you might have seen the image of Christ there in the gathering space as you came in, the beautiful image of divine mercy. To remember at the heart of this year of mercy is a person, the King of love, the King of mercy. He is here, and he is coming. And in the Advent season that begins next Sunday, we will long for his coming to set the world right and to be our Savior. Pope Francis reflected this morning, the doors of mercy are closing, but the true door of mercy, the heart of Christ which was pierced on the cross, does not close. No, it remains open wide for us. As you leave today, notice that image of divine mercy and see how the risen Christ indicates into his open side, showing the way to his heart, the merciful embrace of his Father. Let us not forget this day and every day of our lives what it is these little ones will receive. These six little ones, like those innocents, those thousands of years ago, received the precious gift that Jesus came into the world to save us. He came as King. He came as King of mercy. And so we pray with that powerful word that Jesus taught us in the Our Father, Thy kingdom come.